Y'all, let me tell you what happened this morning. I got up 15 minutes late. And then I put two different suits on. I had a dark blue suit on top and a light blue suit on the bottom. And so Suzanne had to bring me pants here to church. And then I couldn't find the laminator, because I have to laminate my pages because of the wind blowing, right? I couldn't find it, so I had to bother Tracy about it. And then I couldn't find my folder, so I walked around, and Gary and David were, Dave were chasing it around. And I just, it was all morning long just discombobulated is the best word I can sort of come up with, right? And so just a second ago, I was still just kind of, I was still a little out of sorts. I didn't feel like I was ready. I didn't feel like I was prepared. I just, you know what I mean? Like, you've been there, right? And so I walked over in front of the altar just a minute ago. And I just paused for a second, right? And I look up, and there's the cross that's right there. And I suddenly started realizing, I don't know about laminators or folders. I do know about pants. I needed those. But what I knew was, is that everything we're doing right now online, people who have joined us here in the parking lot, preaching and singing and praying, it's all because of that cross. Amen. Like, that's the reason we're doing this thing, is because there was love enough in this world to bring about the need for a cross and a resurrection. And we are here today, 2,000 years, still celebrating that. And so it's a beautiful thing today to see everybody here and know you're online and know we're all doing it for the exact same reason. We're here because of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on that cross. And I just celebrate the fact that we get to be here together. Amen? Amen. A couple of announcements as we get started this morning. The first one is, I want to let you know about Ed Wittenberg. Ed's in the hospital. I've been there since, I think, Thursday. His lung collapsed again on him. But they're looking at surgery on Monday. They were hoping to do it Friday, or I think it was Friday they were going to do it. Didn't work out to do it Friday. They're going to let it heal up a little bit. And then y'all be in prayer, because tomorrow he's going to be in for surgery to try to fix this issue that he's been having. The other thing is this. The elders met on Thursday, and we talked at length in prayerful guidance and hoping we're doing the right thing. And we're looking right now as if that in mid-June, we're going to start back up worship services somehow in the sanctuary. Now, we all know that this is a fluid situation and things can change, but we think that's the date when we can have everything in place so that we can have a worship service in there that's safe for everybody. So be known here in about 4 weeks, give or take, that that's what we're going to be doing. We'll be getting back to it. So those are our two announcements, and if you have any questions about any of those, talk to me, talk to one of your elders, and we'll help you through it. So anyway, with that being said, welcome. It's good to see everybody. It's good to have everybody online with us, and we're going to have our call to worship. So please hear the call to worship from Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear of your steadfast love in the morning, for in you I put my trust. Teach me the way I should go, for to you I lift my soul. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask to hear from you today. In our cars, through the radios, through online, through those here that can hear my voice just because I talk too loud. Lord, we just ask that something happens so that we can hear something that we need to hear. We put our steadfast love in you this morning. We put our trust. We know that you will teach us the way to go. And so we lift up our soul. All of this in this psalm is so true. And we just ask, Lord, that that happen now for us and all those worshiping you this morning. We ask for your blessings, O God. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Our wonderful musicians are going to lead us in song once again. Thank you all so much.
So Jason talks about a laminator. Word about a laminator. He could just live on the edge like I do and don't do it. Just let it fly. Just let it fly. But that's all right. We can't always do that. And don't worry, when we get back, I have something for y'all. As I told Jason, y'all are so much better about honking your horns for amen than actually saying it in church. So when we come back, I'm actually going to get y'all our little bike horns. I think it'd be hilarious. So don't be surprised. That's right. Don't be surprised if you come back and there are a box of bike horns. He's laughing. He knows I'm going to do it. So, y'all know this song, I'm sure. Ancient world. reserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, so let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, helps us cope. In this world where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart, who let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, who let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts, oh, let the ancient words impart.
One of the things that strikes me every so often as I read the words or talk about faith or whatever it is that we've been doing this, man, for a long, long, long time. Well, 2,000 years since Jesus, and then so many hundreds and thousands of years before that, and suddenly we have been doing this faith for, and the weight of that is just beautiful because we get to lean on the faith of so many that came before us. And so thank you all for that song. I want to thank you again for the offerings that you continue to provide in the name of God through the church. We are being good stewards of that, helping those who need help. I continue to say this: if you know somebody that is in need, if you know somebody needs help, or you just suspect it, or if you need help, let me know. We are here to help out through this COVID time, and so those are resources are available. If you know anybody, please let us know, and thank you so much again for continuing to give to the church. There's going to be, again, also you can continue giving online. We've set up that portal. Go to our website, jenkinscp.org, and you can take care of that as well. So thank you again for all you do and finding importance in offerings. So I want to read a scripture to you this morning. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13. It's the whole chapter, but it's only 13 verses. You've heard it before, I think, so I just ask that you sit back and hear it again. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and understand all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures in all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the completeness comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I know fully, even as I have fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for these instructions. We thank you for Paul putting together these thoughts so that we can recognize the preeminence of love in your kingdom. We ask that through this time you bless us with some knowledge we did not have before, some wisdom that suddenly pops into our mind that was not there previously, and then let us go and live it out in the world in ways we have not done in the past. Lord, we ask these things of you because we love you and we want to be as close to you as we can be. And God's people said, amen. Look here, if you don't know this scripture, it's only because you hadn't been to any weddings. Because I swear, about half the weddings I go to anymore, this is the scripture they use. Actually, brides fall into two categories. There are those who demand that we preachers preach yet again on 1 Corinthians 13. And then there are other brides that say, don't you dare use that 1 Corinthians passage, because Becky had that in her wedding, and I won't be like Becky. Bride, it comes along, and you've heard this, you know the scripture. This is a good scripture. It's good for marriage. Listen to it like this. I can tell my husband to wipe his nasty beard trimmings off the sink, but if I do not have love, see what I mean? But here's what's interesting. Even though you've heard this at every other wedding you've been to, this scripture is not about marriage. It's not about how two people can live in community and matrimony with each other when they care for each other and when they put up with each other and when they have patience with each other and all that. This scripture is not about lovey-dovey love. It's anything but that. As good advice as it is, Paul wasn't talking to two people or even a bunch of people who decided that they want to love each other until death do us part. That's not who he was talking to. Who Paul was talking to was a bunch of Corinthian Christians who couldn't get along with each other. They were all split up and they were all fussing with each other, and Paul got ticked. And he said, that's not the way you live out Christ's love. He told them there's a different way than being fractured by how the world wants you to live. He said it's a way that's full of love. It's patient, it's kind, it's humble. It's never rude. It never says it's my way or the highway. It bears with people when you do not want to bear with them. It's hopeful. It's enduring. And that's what love is like, Paul said. And that's how you ought to be living if you love Jesus Christ. He said that this is the kind of love that just pours out of us when we didn't even mean to show love at all. He said it's what happens when we follow Jesus and we are baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul was writing to a Corinthian church who couldn't get along, and he said, do you want to do this kingdom right? Do you really want to do it right? Then have love. Everything you do is to be birthed from love, he said. If you're a Christian, love. That's it, just love. In fact, Paul says that love is even more important than faith. Now, y'all, you got to be honest with me right now. That's some bold talk, that love is greater than faith. If I came out here today and told you that there is something above faith in God, if I said there's something above faith in Jesus, above faith in the way, above the faith that we say saves us, above the faith that rewards us with heaven, if I came out here today and said that there is something more important than faith, y'all got to be honest, you'd go tell me to fly a kite. But Paul told us that love is even more important than faith. And you can't argue with Paul because he's not here. Right here it is. Love. That is God's will. Love. I told y'all last week about how this church in Corinth, this to whom this letter to the Corinthians was written, they couldn't get along. Remember last week, I said we read that Paul had heard from Chloe's people that some were following Apollos, and some were following Cephas, and some were following Paul, and some just said they were following Jesus, and they were choosing sides and weren't doing the way of the faith like Jesus had taught it. And you know Paul had to say something. He couldn't shut up because he's always just trying to get Jesus right, you know? And that's what this whole letter is about, this Corinthian letter. From the very beginning of this letter, he was begging them to just get along. He was demanding it. All the way back in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, all the way back there, right after he made his first statement to the church, he said this: I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in thought and mind. Now, allow me to present a way to interpret Scripture with this thought. He didn't need to say if people were already doing that. If they were already getting along, he didn't have to tell them to get along. No, he had to tell the people in the church to be unified because they weren't unified. And so he wrote this letter telling about how Jesus was the Son of God and Jesus was God in the flesh and he was killed and he was resurrected. And then he said that loving like Jesus is what it's all about. If you want to do this world right, you have to always act out of Jesus's love. That's the glue between you and the one you can't get along with. If you're going to live in the way is paved with love. You getting the point? Yeah. Now, here's the thing, interesting thing about this scripture too. Get this about this scripture. This is the 13th chapter, right? Now, chapter 12 and chapter 14 are about another topic. They're both about spiritual gifts. And you've read chapter 12. You've heard this. That's the part where the letter that Paul tells them that everybody's got different gifts. Some have the gifts of teaching. Some have the gifts of prophecy and on and on and on. And then he says, with all those different gifts, you all make up the body of Christ. We're all a part of it. Remember, that's in chapter 12. That's when he was convincing them that's how they were all together, was because of gifts. And then after the love chapter, in chapter 14, Paul talks about spiritual gifts again. So Paul's talking about gifts, and then he interrupts himself to talk about love before he talks about gifts again, almost as if he realized that those gifts aren't worth squat if they're not done through love. Love is what makes spiritual gifts tick. It's just on autopilot if there's not love. Love, man, that's it. That's the way, and don't make any mistake about any other. We've ruined that word love, by the way, a little bit. It doesn't always mean today what I think it ought to. In our times today, a boy and a girl hold hands and they love each other. A young man and a woman decide that they love each other and so they're going to get married. We love sports. We love outdoors. We love old cars. We love our family and our friends. We do. We ain't no lie about that. But in that kind of love, get this, in that kind of love, we decide who we love. Love then becomes a decision in that kind of love. We're going to love these over here, but those over there aren't as lovable. This is worthy of love here, but that is just worthy of like there, or that's just fine there. Or we never think about that there or worse. We treat love like we've only got so many pounds of it. So you get a little bit and you get a little bit, but I can't give everybody some or I'll give it out too much. That's what we've done to love these days. Problem is, that's not the kind of love that Paul was talking about. That's not the love of God that Jesus showed in the way that he lived. That's not the kind of love that the prophets demanded of us. That's the kind of love that we're talking about here is the kind of love that exists whether you want it to exist or not. It's the kind of love that exists and you either live in it all the time or you don't live in it. You can't dip your toe into it and then come out of it. It's either a part of us or it's not. It's like this. You know what I do? Let me tell you what I do. I mean, I size people up when I see them. I judge them as soon as I look at them or interact with them. I'm terrible about it. And the temptation to that is to treat somebody out of those judgments. If I judge somebody good, I want to treat them good. If I judge somebody bad, I'm wary and careful. Just go to a mall sometime and sit and watch and be real intentional about how we judge people in the moment we see them. I mean, don't go in the mall right now because they closed and don't do that. But later on. And if you do, you'll realize how fast we make our judgments on people. It's as soon as we see the cover of the book. We don't mean it to happen. We don't want it to happen. But it's sort of human nature, and then we start treating people out of that. We have suspicion or familiarity or disregard or curiosity right there as soon as we see somebody. And what Jesus says is that we must disregard as sinful those negative judgments because that's not what we're allowed to act out of. We are to block out those ways in which we want to damage or put down or not care for people. And instead, our job as people of the way is simply to act out of love because we're Christians, and that's what Christians do. Love is patient, y'all. Love is kind, and that's our job. That's it. Love. How can I love that person, not judge them, but love them as much as I love myself? It's what we're supposed to be about. It's why we're supposed to see the world and how we're supposed to act, because we love everything in this creation that God made. That's why our enemies don't have to worry about us, because we're the ones who are going to invite them to the table and not to a fight. It's why our friends can trust us, because they know we have their best interest at heart, because we love them as much as we love ourselves. It's what connects us to the least of these, because they know that when nobody else loves them, there's a Christian that's going to love them. There's a guy that I watch on YouTube. He's an African-American man who grew up on that old school rap. You know, he didn't listen to Top 40 or rock and roll or whatever. He grew up listening to Run DMC. Anyway, he has this YouTube channel where people suggest songs that he listens to, and then he reacts to the music while he's on video listening to the song. So he'd never listened to, you know, Led Zeppelin or Heart or somebody, but he listens to them, and then he kind of reacts to them on the video. And this guy is funny, too, so he keeps your attention, but he does something that's very, very interesting. I don't care what the song is. I don't care what genre it is. I don't care who it's by. I don't care how bad the song is that's been suggested to him. He always loves it. He finds something in the song, some part of it, some lyric, some bass line, some harmony, and he focuses on it and then talks about how good it is and how much he loves it, and then he dances to it a little bit, and then he gets his stank face going. You know what that is, right? He gets his stank face going with it, and now, y'all, he's listening to some terrible, terrible music. At least that's what I'd call it if somebody suggested to me. I'd tell them how bad their taste in music is. I'd let them know, but not this guy. His first inclination is to find the good in it. Y'all, that's love. His first reaction toward any of these songs is a positive reaction. That's what love looks like. That's what us Christians are to be. Now, don't think I'm a fool. Showing love sometimes means getting away from some people or dusting your sandals off. I get that. Sometimes love is telling people a little bit of what they need to hear. Now, we can talk about being a prophet sometime else. That's not how this starts. Paul said it starts with love. Love is what makes the pavement of the way stick together. Y'all seen these command strips, y'all, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all can't see you nodding or shaking your head, so I'm going to assume some do and some don't. Command strips are these little hooks that you put on a wall that's got the most miraculous little adhesive you've ever seen in your whole life, because it attaches to the wall. And it's a hook, like you can put it in the bathroom where a towel can hang off of it, or you can hang a picture off of it, whatever else. And they're strong. They're really, really strong. Anyway, you have these command strips, and you pull the backing off, and then you put it up on the wall, and whatever that adhesive is on the back sticks to the wall and won't let go. You can't knock the hook down. You can bump it while you walk by, and it'll stay right where it is. It's adhesive, man. It won't let go. That is love. It's what holds everything together. It's like duct tape. Ain't nothing can't be fixed with duct tape. You can ask anybody from astronauts to rednecks, and they'll tell you that as long as you got zip ties, duct tape, and love, there is nothing in this world you can't fix. Now, it may be hard to love. It may be prophetic love. It will be siding with the least of this love. Jesus told us that. But love is it, man. Not vengeance, not anger, Not pride, not anything else. Love is what motivates Christians in this world. Somebody needs to know today that this bunch of folks here in this parking lot and online today, these bunch of people, that we are Christians. We do everything we do because we love other people every bit as much as we love ourselves. That's what's holding this whole world together, y'all. Love is what makes the world go round, and that's our job, man. That's what the Christian community is all about. That's what we're supposed to be providing to this world, is unbelievable amounts of love. It's what we're supposed to rub on the wounds of friends and foe alike. It's what we're supposed to show people so that they can see a different way than what this world is teaching them. We have to be invested in people. Man, we've got to be investing in people and love them, because we love them so much we can't get away from it. We've got to be investing in people's lives, in their health, in their well-being, in their existence, and we can't do it just for those that we want to do it for. We have to be that way for the ones that are hardest to love too, because if we can't do it for those people no matter what, then is it really love at all? Or have we fallen back into the world's definitions of love? Church, we have a fantastic mission. We Christians have the greatest job that God can ever give. We Christians are blessed with the highest calling. We get to take one emotion, one feeling, one way of being, the one hope that the world needs, and we get to show it to everybody out there. We deal in love, y'all. The most precious gift that has ever been given. More precious than silver, more precious than gold, more precious than what we own or what we might own. It's more precious even than faith and hope. It's even more precious than life itself, Jesus said. And y'all, that love, that's our playground. We get to live in a creation that is made out of love. It's the air we breathe in and the breath that we breathe out. It's the living water we drink for our thirsty souls. It's the food that finally satisfies those who are starving. It's everything for us. It's the strut we have when we're walking on the way. Church, we can't be great without love. We can be successful. We can even be kind and charitable. We can teach and lead and we can give stuff away. But if it's not done with love, then it's not what we thought it was all along. But if it is done with love, it's God's will done on earth just like it is in heaven. So church, leave here now. Don't mess around in any other ways. Let those other paths disappear over the horizon. Go the road that walks in love, for the greatest of these has always been love. Go make sure that people this week who had no idea you love them now know without a shadow of a doubt that you do. And if they ask you why, you can tell them the truth, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, without love, this world is nothing. Y'all go love somebody, and I love you. God bless, and amen. I don't know what our last song is, but I promise you it's a good one. I want to thank our musicians once again for their hard work. I know they're working during the week. They're getting together on Saturdays. They're making this happen. And just make sure you thank these three for the hard work they're putting in. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. Standing out here in the drizzle, the sprinkle, the drops. We do this for God and we do this for you. Dream. Jesus, Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hold my hand, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord. When the darkness appears and the night it draws near, the day is past and gone. At the river I stand, hide my feet. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
That was a little bit of a special treat for those who've been on the Blues and the Bible Zoom meetings that we've been having lately. That was one of the songs that we played, so thank y'all for that. Let's go to God once more in prayer, please. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the weather. We thank you for those who have driven by. We thank you, Lord, for those in the parking lot, those online, those we don't know, and those we do. We thank you, God, for this day. And we know that there are some, Lord, that are struggling a little bit. We lift up these names to you that we've seen come in. But we also know, Lord, that you don't need us reading them here. You know them before we ever type them or say them. But these, Lord, we pray for. Melanie Soyson, David Morton, Bill Rowland, Jackie Bullard, Harold and Joan Sanders. We keep them in our prayers. Harold Schaefer, as he's moved, Lord, we keep him in our prayers. Mary Ann Coleman, I believe this is Steve Alamore's sister, if I believe, if I read this right. Kim and Rain. Risa Johnson, who has cancer, Lord, we pray for her, and we pray for Ed Wittenberg and all of those, Lord, that we know that need prayer. We lift them up to you. And, Lord, now we leave this place, and we ask that you bless us and lead us and guide us as we go, because you are the only guide that we desire. And all of God's people said, amen. It is good to see you all again. God bless you. We're going to do this a little bit longer. Then we're going to find a way to get back in that sanctuary and be together once more. God bless you all.